Turn in your Bibles, Genesis 22. We're going to revisit Genesis 22. I had a kind of an encounter on Wednesday night in the middle of this encounter. The Spirit of the Lord just showed me something very powerful. It's so good, I have to revisit it. I mean, it is good because we're seeing this right now. We're living in this. We're experiencing this right now. Amen? We're experiencing God do some pretty amazing things. And so I want to preach into the experience of it as much as I can. So in Genesis 22, I know some of you have been with us over the last month. You've heard some of this, but the way that he said it Wednesday, I never saw this. And we preached all around this for 2 or 3 weeks. I'm like, wow, look at that. But Genesis 22 verse 15 will begin. Hallelujah. Genesis 22. 15, praise God. It says, and the angel of the Lord called unto Abraham out of heaven the second time and said, by myself, this was right after he was going to sacrifice Isaac, and he stopped him. And then God said something very interesting. He said, by myself have I sworn, saith the Lord, for because you have done this thing, and you have not withheld thy son, thine only son, that in blessing, so he's actually going to talk about his son here. I will bless thee and in multiply, I will multiply thy seed. You can underline thy seed as the stars of the heaven and the sand which is upon the seashore, and thy seed, the second reference, you can underline that thy seed shall possess the gate of his enemies. And in thy seed, that's the third time, thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed because you've obeyed my voice. So here God is swearing. He says, because I could swear by myself, because I could swear by no greater, I swear to myself. Hebrews actually mentions this, because he could swear by no greater. He swore to himself. He actually swore to himself. And what it meant by that was Abraham was a part of the covenant. He wasn't actually cutting the covenant to Abraham. He was cutting the covenant through Abraham. Say through. And that's a huge difference. Abraham got in on the covenant that God the Father was making with himself. And he was making the covenant with his seed that was going to come through Abraham's loins. And this is how God brought authority back into the earth. He had to bring a man, but then he said, listen, there's a seed coming down about 28 generations down, Abraham. And in that seed, all the nations of the earth will be blessed. In thy seed will possess the gates of his enemy. Thy seed I will multiply as the sand of the seashore. So he goes, because I can swear by no greater, I will swear to myself, Father, swearing to the Son through Abraham's loins. That was the covenant. Everyone say, that was the covenant. He swore to his Son through Abraham's loins. And he swore that in blessing I will bless thee. Say, swore. Now, when God swears, that's way higher than when God promises. When God promises, that's conditional. When God swears, it's done. Say, it's done. Look at your neighbor and say, it's done. God swore. He swore. When God swears, it's done. How many of you know it's already done? We're not waiting for that to happen. That already happened. God did it. Amen. Now, just go to Galatians real quick. Let's look at this, and then we're going to go back. Back to Genesis, then back to Galatians, then to Psalms 37. And now remember, thy seed, thy seed, thy seed. Three times he said, thy seed, thy seed. Actually, he promised in chapter 12, chapter 13, chapter 15, chapter 17, and chapter 22. But he culminated in 22. Now he goes back to verse 16 here in Galatians 3. Some very powerful verse here. He says, now Abraham, say Abraham, and what? Thy seed, his seed, where the promise is made, and he saith not, and to seeds, S-E-E-D-S, as of many, but as of what? One. And to thy seed, which is what? Christ. Remember what I said, that he was not swearing to Abraham. He wasn't cutting the covenant to Abraham, he was cutting the covenant through Abraham. God was swearing to his seed, singular, his son, Christ, in Abraham's loin. He swore that in blessing, I will bless thee. He swore that in multiply. What do you think Christ had the faith for when he was sitting in the belly of hell for 3 days, suffering for our sin? He knew the Father was going to come get him because the Father swore he would do it. The Father swore he would raise him from the dead. The Father swore he would multiply him in all the nations of the earth. Jesus knew the Father was coming to get him. He knew that the Father was going to raise him from the dead. Amen? Because he swore he would multiply him. And he says right here, he wasn't talking to seeds of many. He was talking to seeds of what? One seed. That Abrahamic covenant was cut from father to son. And because the father could swear by no greater, he swore to his only son that I will do this. In blessing, I will bless thee. And in multiplying, I will multiply thee. So we're all on the same page right there, right? Okay, now God introduces you. What about me? What about me? All right, verse 29. It said, if Christ, say you, be Christ, then you are Abraham's seed. Say, I am Abraham's seed. I am the one he was talking to that day. I am inheritor heir of that promise. If you be Christ, then you are Abraham's seed, and you're an heir of that promise. Because why? You're in Christ. And if you're in Christ, God was swearing to you. He was swearing to everything Christ is in you, to you, and through you. He was swearing to bless you, swearing to multiply you, swearing to increase you. Got a lot of amens on that one. Nobody has a problem when it comes to Christ, but then to know that you were in Christ when the Father was doing the swearing. Father was swearing to Christ in you, that in blessing I will bless Christ in you, and in multiplying I will multiply Christ in you, and in blessing I will bless Christ through you, and in multiplying I will multiply Christ through you. I swear that I'll do it. You got to understand that. Boy, I used to stand on the promises of God. We're big about standing on the promises of God. Constitution on all the promises of God. And we always just bring these promises. God, you promise you're going to do this. You know, now everything's changed. So you swore that you would do it. Not only have you sworn you would do it, you swore and you did it. Say, he did it. Now, if you really want to understand how this works, we're operating on something that's already done, already moving, already happened, already initiated. Because once Christ, the Father, once he raised him from the dead, he began to initiate divine multiplication. He began to initiate the increase of his kingdom and peace. There's what? No end. Say no end. He began to initiate the multiplication. That's already moving. You're already in that. It's already in you. You're already a part of it. It's already there. All we have to do now is plug in. Amen. We plug into the realm of increase. So I was talking about if you plug your offering in, so many people give, and nothing ever happens. And they get to the point where they just stop giving because they don't know how to plug in. They pray, and nothing happens because you're not plugged in. When you pray, enter into the sanctuary, shut the door, pray to your Father that's in that sanctuary. If you'll pray to the Father face to face, you'll begin seeing things. I'm telling you, ever since we begin to pray into this increase, into this multiplication, and understand he has sworn to bless us, God started opening stuff up. Everything in the faucet started opening. Things that haven't opened in years just started opening right up. Awesome. Say awesome. Awesome. Amen. Because you have to first agree with who you are. If you be Christ, then you are Abraham's seed. And then you are an heir of that promise. Because I'm in him. You have to know that. If you'll get into that and understand it's not something I'm waiting on God to do. It's something he's already done. I'm already a part of it. I'm already an heir. Say, I'm already an heir. I'm an heir to it. You enter into the frequency of it. You enter in to the movement of it. He's already initiated. You enter into it by faith. And if you get your life in there, things will start happening. Amen? All right, go back to Genesis 22. Now, Wednesday, I'm sitting there during worship. And he said, go back to 22, you've missed something. Genesis 5, I said, how could we have missed this? We have preached all over this. When God tells you to go back, go back. Amen. Even if you think you got it, believe me, go back. Because we were like, Lord, we preached all over this. I mean, how many of you heard me preach on this? Raise your hand. Glory to God. He said, go back. And I'm sitting there, all right, I'm going to open my Bible up in Wednesday night during worship. And I'm like, what? I couldn't believe he said it. I said, how did I miss that? Genesis 22. Now watch this. So we know we're heirs of the increase. We know we're heirs of the multiplication. When he gave me that encounter Wednesday night, I saw something. How the church is going to function in the last days. How we're going to literally, the kingdom of God for a season is just going to release in a massive way in the earth. So let's look at verse 16. He said, by myself I've sworn. Or by myself, to myself, I have sworn, saith the Lord, because you've done this thing and not withheld thy son. He's basically saying, I won't withhold my son. I'm going to offer my son, and then I'm going to swear to my son, in blessing, I will bless thee. Multiplying, I will multiply thee as the stars of the heaven, the sand of the seashore. Now notice this verse. Watch this verse. Ready for this verse? And thy seed, say thy seed, shall what? Possess what? The gates of what? Of his enemies. He'll what? He'll possess. You know what it means to possess the gate? He takes ownership of a gate that was controlled by darkness, controlled by demonic darkness. All of a sudden, that gate is now controlled by the kingdom of God. That gate is completely under control of the kingdom of God. The gate has been possessed. The gate, the enemies have been overrun, and now it's a gate of the kingdom instead of gate of darkness. And he said, thy seed, say thy seed. Now I always read that. I know Jesus is going to possess the gates of his enemies. But then when you tie that into Galatians, read it like this. Thy seed, if you be Christ, he's talking who? First of all, he said, thy seed's not of many, but as one, which is Christ. And if you be Christ, you're Abraham's seed, heir according to what? That promise too. Everyone say, that promise too. You will possess the gates of your enemies. You'll be a possessor of the mountains that have dogged your track all your life. God is going to bring you out of the wilderness, and you're going to possess that gate on that mountain, and it's going to become a mountain for the kingdom of God. He said, I saw how he was going to do it. I mean, we love that kind of, just go take dominion. Oh, have a dominion message, let's get it, hallelujah. And you go out and have dominion out there, and you last about 3 weeks. You're not going to have dominion over these kind of gates on your own. When I was sitting there, I got caught up in this. It doesn't matter if you have authority. The heir, as long as he a child, differs nothing from a servant, though he be Lord of all. You can have the position of being granted an heirship, but as long as we're children, we're not going to operate in it until we come of full age and understand how to operate in it. Even though it's ours. So what happens, we hear the dominion message and we go out and we're going to take dominion, and let's go take dominion over the seven mountains, the educational mountains, the media mountains, the political mountains, the financial mountains. Let's go take them all. Let's go. And so we have a campaign to go take out. But then when we get out there, nothing happens. We end up spinning our wheels. Amen. Gotten quiet in this Presbyterian church. We start spinning our wheels because we went out. When I got caught up Wednesday night in worship, he said, you cannot possess these gates without me. When I said you're an heir of this promise, it was contingent on you being in me and I'm in you. Not even I went out without my Father. Do you not know that as my Father, I dwell in my Father dwells in me, and my Father that's doing these works, I myself can do nothing. The Lord never introduced the kingdom outside the presence of his Father being there with him. He never introduced the kingdom outside the presence of the Holy Spirit being with him. He didn't operate under his own accord. That was his secret. It was the oneness that he held with the Father, which was his secret. Say, oneness. He said, if you abide in me and my word, what? Abides in you. Then what? You'll bear much fruit. And when I was caught up, I saw it prophetically. I saw my own life. You know, it's amazing when you get caught up in a, how many of you have ever been caught up in an encounter with God and he'll just review your life in front of you right there? Have you ever had God this review? You just review in 5 minutes. He can review 30 years. He can give you a review of 30 years in 5 minutes. And he does it in the most unopportune times ever. I don't understand why he chooses when he chooses, but when he chooses to start talking to you, you can pray for 3 hours and he talks to you when you're outside the prayer closet. And see, I'm caught up and I see all these, starts reviewing all the time. See, you went into that gate. You thought I was going to go with you, but you went out in front of me. But you thought it was me, but it was actually your soul that led you into that gate. And you failed out of that gate. He goes, but when I lead you, you will not fail. Not only if I lead, now he goes, a lot of times what will happen is I'll lead you into the gate and you'll begin in the spirit. Then you try to perfect it in the flesh. That's what he's talking about the Galatians. How, oh foolish Galatians, you've begun in the spirit, you're now going to perfect in the flesh. God will lead you into a God-ordained gate, and then what will happen is the enemy will try to tap your human sufficiency to complete what God started. And when that happens, everything crashes. Because it's begun in the spirit, it has to stay in the spirit. Amen? If he led you in there, he says, your capacity to win. We are seeing battles won now that we didn't see them won before, which is awesome. Amen. We're seeing God move some mountains that weren't moving. Listen, if you get in a situation, my friends, some of you right now are in that situation. You're facing mountains right now and you're trying to move this stuff and they're not moving. Now, the last thing to do is to just completely back off and do nothing. Because other people, well, I'm not going to do anything. It's God's. I'm going to do it. You still have something to do. You just got to know what to do, how to do it. It's kind of like this. I talk about this a lot. You got to walk with the ark without touching it. Amen? You got to be an Uzzah without being Uzzah. So Uzzah's walking with the ark. But he decided that he wanted to steady the ark. You have to walk with it without steadying it, but you can't walk away from it either. So what happens is God will begin something and the enemy will launch a warfare against us and it gets too much for us to bear because we're not bearing the warfare with the Lord. We're bearing it in ourselves because too much of ourselves involved with the equation. So we get burned and what do? We back off completely from it. Well, God, you got it whenever. You can't do that either. It requires you without you touching it. Does that make sense? It requires you to carry it in faith, in rest. Because God still has to use you. God's biggest problem is not the devil, trust me. God's biggest problem is us. Amen? Working with us, we're quite a dynamic creation we are. Because we have this spirit man air and he's just, man, he's got it. Amen? But then you have this soul that thinks he's got it. And when your soul that thinks he's got it, that doesn't have it, gets in control. And when he thinks he's in control, when he's really not in control, he can cause a lot of problems. So when God starts reviewing your life and you look like, I wasn't denying you. I didn't fail you. There was too much of you back then. You see that? And I saw it. I said, yeah, see that? He said, so I, what did I do? Every time you ask me for something far greater than you, I set you. A lot of times when you're asking something, listen to me. Ooh, this is good. This is good. I'm learning something right now. Hold on. So every time you ask God for something that's far greater than you, if you're not ready for it, guess what God does? He immediately begins to set you on a course of training and equipping for that greater thing. Sometimes we think he's going to give it to us. He goes, no, you're in first grade. That's going to require at least graduation. But hey, it's a good thing I'm God because it's going to take a little while. However, I'm going to get you there. Amen. And immediately begins the training process to function and operate in success in that realm you asked of him. Amen. He orders the training for your life. We're trying to get him to do it. He's ordering the training. We're out there trying to get him to do it, and he's trying to get us to sit down and learn now. Come unto me, learn of me, take my yoke upon you, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Amen. It's going to require a little bit of training for that arena. A little bit of equipping for that arena. So God orders the training for our life, but if we don't understand he's in training mode and not demonstration mode, we're going to contend with him. That's really good. Everyone say amen. Here's how you do it. You go, amen. Everyone, let's practice. You ready? Amen. So if he's in training mode and we think he's in demonstration mode, we're going to start contending with him. Then we're going to get discouraged because we're somewhere he's not. Amen? We're wanting him to do something he wants to do, but he's got to prepare us. And then we don't realize we're in preparation mode. We think we're in demonstration mode. And then all of a sudden we're wearing our emotions around, why don't you do this for me? You're doing it for everybody else out there. You start comparing who you are with everybody else out there. How come I'm not here? How come I'm not there? Because God said, I have something really, really, really good for you. Everyone say, really, really, really good. But it's going to take some really, 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 really good training for it too. And this kind of training you're probably not going to get from every pastor on every corner. I might have to train you myself for this. Which means I might have to put you aside a little bit. So don't mistake God's training and equipping process for his denial. Don't mistake him denying you. You got to get in alignment with it because come, God didn't shout out of heaven, hey, we're in training mode here. Slow down. Wouldn't you like him to do that? Wouldn't you like him to do, Moses, you're in training mode. You're going to be on the backside for a while. We'll get it done. Because if you contend with him in training mode, you're going to be a very frustrated person. The whole key of the kingdom is getting alignment with where he is for your life. Amen? Ask him, well, how do I know how to do that? If you spend time with him, he'll align you. That's what he does. He just, that's his gift. The Lord is the Lord of rest. Listen, before you ever meet the Lord of demonstration, you're going to have to meet the Lord of rest. Amen? He's got to bring your life to rest in him. Once you learn to acclimate to him in this way, then all this was running through me. And I mean, when I was sitting there in worship, I was seeing the whole process. I said, oh, that's why we did that. That's why we did that. That's why you stopped, said no more. And you took us down this path of the right hand, this never ending training. I'm like, are we ever going to come out of this training class? And all of a sudden, God starts opening some gates. And then I realized some of these enemies that are sitting in the gates. He goes, what? Thy seed will possess the gate. He goes, now we're going to go to this gate together. Say together. Together. And when we get in this gate, we're going to function together in this gate. Say together. We're going to function in we mode, not you mode. We're going to be Yahweh, not your way. Amen. So we're going to go into the gate and then we're going to stay in the gate together. You're not going to begin in the spirit and go perfect in the flesh because the enemies will be in this gate. They're enemies, but they're no match for me. And if you're in me, they'll be no match for us. Are we? But if you get outside of me and start doing it yourself, you're going to meet these enemies. And you won't have a defense against them because you're in you mode now. And the reason why you'll know the difference is because of that training I put you through. You'll know the difference between you mode and we mode. Amen? Never underestimate the power of God's training process and equipping. If you stay close to him, he's always working your future because he wants to pitch you against stuff that's been sitting around a long time. He wants to put you right in the middle of the gate of the enemy. And you'll be right in the middle of the gate of the enemy, in him, with him, and him in you, and you in him. And when you go in like that, that enemy cannot touch you. It's like being seated at the right hand of God, far above what? Principalities and powers, the rulers of this world. When you're seated, when we learn to move into that seat and the enemy would break and the world system would break, we learn to move into places of rest and glory and grace where the enemy had no access. We learn to sit there, but he wants to bring all that down now into the gates of the world system. It's not just dwelling in the kingdom. He wants the kingdom coming down. And he wants to take that kingdom and plant it into a gate of the enemy. with you in it, and you in it, it in you, you in it. And that same position you have in heavenly places, you have now, here. That's why the Lord said, the thief cometh, he has no place in me. He was standing in the earth saying that. Did you hear that? Isn't that awesome? So the kingdom comes in, and all that peace, all that glory, all that grace, and all of that non-access from the enemy. He puts you in the middle of a gate that would have just ate your lunch even 5 years ago. He puts you in that gate, and that same strong man has no power over you whatsoever. He has no authority, and all of a sudden the kingdom starts multiplying in that gate. It starts increasing in that gate because now you're possessing that gate because you're with him and in him. And he said, the secret sign to possessing gates is do it in me and with me all the time. Say, in me and with me all the time. In me and with me all the time. Don't begin in the spirit and try to perfect in the flesh. You'll find out real quick. But if you dwell with God long enough and you know when you're in alignment, you'll know when you're out of alignment in a gate. And so you're spending more of your time aligning yourself with God than you are dealing with your enemy. Too many people are trying to deal with too much spiritual warfare out there, and they're wearing themselves out. Don't be taking on everything out there. If you get in position, they'll have no access to you. If you get in position with the kingdom, the glory, the peace, the grace. This is a good Sunday morning message, isn't it? So yeah. Say, okay, y'all ready again? Amen. Ready? 1, 2, 3. Amen. Hallelujah. So will you spend more time getting in? I'll promise you this. Sometimes I spend more time getting in position than I rarely ever, ever address the enemy. I already know he's there. But I like being in a place where he has no access to me. I don't have to address him if I'm in a place where he has no access to me. Amen? But if I go address him all the time, he's going to wear me out. How many of you have ever been there? Constantly warring against something that never stopped warring against you. But when you escape, see, David found out. He found out how to escape into the Lord. When you learn to escape into the mountain of God, escape into the fortress of God, hide under the shelter and shadow of his wings, then the enemy has no access to you. You're free. Amen? And when you're free, the kingdom's free. And when the kingdom's free, it'll flow through you. A lot about the kingdom, trust me, is getting out of the way, staying out of the way. The kingdom works really good when you get out of the way. It works even better when you stay out of the way. So what happens? God gets us out of the way. But see, here's the dilemma with God. And I don't know why God set this up like this. I'm going to have a talk with him when I get to heaven, but I don't know. Maybe I'll talk to the Lord and have the Lord talk to him about it. So why did you do it this way? Why did you plan to use and move all this through us, knowing how often we are in the way? He goes, because he's not intimidated by our stuff. He's not intimidated. He thinks he's God. He knows he's God. And not only can he overcome the world, the devil, he can overcome you too. Amen. So the key to walking with God is getting out of the way. So what happens? He gets you surrendered. He gets you in a broken place. Don't stay broken. Just get broken. Amen. Some people, well, I'm broken. You walk around broken all the time. Okay, it's good you got broken. That's a good thing. Now come on up. From that brokenness, ascend into the Lord. Don't just walk around broken all the time. Some people like to wear brokenness. And some people like to wear the enemy's assignments. Well, look at the enemy's done to me. Look at the enemy's done to me. Look at the enemy's done to me. And they're wearing badges. And all they do is talk about all their warfare. Look, join the club. Everybody's got warfare. If you don't have warfare, something is seriously wrong with you. It's not your warfare. It's your peace. Mark the perfect man. Mark the man. Mark the perfect man. For the end of that man is what? Peace. Mark the rest. Mark the rest. Because if you live in the rest and dwell in the peace of God, the enemy won't have any access to you. Amen? Dwell in the love of the Father, he won't have any access. Doesn't matter what he's doing, he won't have any access. But what God wants to train is not just to dwell with God there. He wants to bring the kingdom into the gates now. And he wants us to possess the gates with him. and in Him. And not only does He want us to begin in the Spirit, He wants us what? Stay. And all that is part of your training now. Because these gates are going to open some big, huge things up. There's a big old gate in this city that's going to get possessed. That's going to open this city wide open for the kingdom of God. Wide open for a revival. It's going to break loose throughout this city and move across nations. Well, you know, I'm from Dallas, and God prophesied to start in Dallas. Hey, I got news for you. God has prophesied to every single city in the United States that revival is going to begin. I don't just live in a city, and I guarantee you somebody going to come up to you and say, God has prophesied that revival is going to start in my city. He has! Because God sends out His word for anybody. He can take it. Said, I received this word. Then everybody jumps on the revival train and they don't know how to deal with the enemy that comes with the revival train. It's a training. It's an equipping. We're going to win because we're positioned higher. We're going to win because we stay higher. We stay in. The Lord says, I do not think of myself. I am in my Father. He's in me. That's my protection. You can't touch me. All that I do in my Father, not alone. All that I do with my Father, not alone. All that I say what my Father says. Every gate that I possess in the earth, I do it with my Father and the Holy Spirit. I do not do it alone. That was His secret. That was the secret. Well, He was the Son of God. You're the heir of God. We have to have the same secret. Found in John 14, 15, 16, 17. The union. In Him we live, we move. See, we move. We have our being in Him. I dwell only in You. I spend more time getting in alignment because now I have learned if I'm in alignment, God will move. If I'm in alignment, God will work. If I'm in alignment, He'll work. If I get out of alignment, everything shuts down. I found a long time ago, I cannot of myself defeat the enemy around me. I can't. I remember one time I tried to go out in the trading markets. I got all excited. I thought God was going to send me out in the trading markets. You know, the king, you know, king, priest, I'm, the king's ready. Oh. I went out there. Ooh. I made some investments. I thought for sure God was there with me. I'll tell on myself a little bit. And I tell you what, I had something come at me. I saw one account one night. I'm just telling you the truth. I saw a $35,000 account drain to zero in one night. I knew it was going to drain to zero. And I called them. I said, get me out of this. And they would not do it. I saw the enemy confront me in that arena. Broke me. I'm like, God, I'll never do that again. He goes, don't ever say never, son. But we won't ever do that again the way you did it. Amen. Sometimes you get out there without Him, things like that happen. But even that's part of our training. How many of you ever jumped out, just knew it was God, and landed flat on your face? Go ahead. I told him myself, you get to tell on yourself. Come on, I want to see it. Can I get a camera? Please, just pan the honor. Pan. Come on, Tina, raise that hand. Sharon, raise that hand. Come on, Tim, raise that hand. Tim, raise your hand. Anna, raise your hand. Shh. Tim will be repenting at the end of the service. Hey, without that Peter thing that'll jump out in the first place, sometimes you have to have that capacity to jump out, but even that capacity has to be tamed a little bit. Amen? But once he gets it tamed in the proper training, once he can lead you with the proper training, you'll see the mountains move. You'll see them. It won't be like before. And I have this word to give you today. The Spirit of the Lord said, tell them it will not be like before. It won't be like before. God's going to lead you. And don't let what happened before start prophesying to you when the enemy shows up. Just stay in position. Hold your hand to your heart. Say, I'm not alone. This time, I'm not alone. This time I'm going in humbly. This time I'm going in under the shadow of the Almighty. This time I'm staying under the shadow of the Almighty. This time I'm in you, Lord. And we're possessing this gate. And if you're with me, we will not fail. Because I'm not alone here. You've trained me. I can do nothing in and of myself. You've trained me. I cannot move anything without you. I must begin with you and I stay with you. You'll do that if you have the proper training. And God will start moving those mountains out. And you'll start possessing gates that the enemy whooped you in just 5 years ago. You'll possess it. Say, possess it. You'll possess it. Media gates, financial gates, governmental gates, political gates, educational gates, social gates, family gates. You'll possess the gates. Somebody in here, you have a generational dysfunction in the family gate, and it's already trying to show up in your children. And the Spirit of the Lord is telling me to tell you, it will not be as before. I'm training you to shift that gate. And you will be a possessor of the gates of your generations. And from this day, says the Spirit of the Lord, your generation will be blessed. But the dysfunction will be curbed into my rest. It will be surrendered into my grace. And there is a new mantle, says the Spirit of the Lord, one of grace, one of rest. I'm not giving you the spirit of fear and anxiety and dysfunction for your family gates. I've given you the spirit of power, love, and soundness of heart and mind. Amen. Say amen. Possessor of the family gate, breaking the chain and the cycle, breaking the generational cycle. By possessing a gate. Say, now it stops right here. Stops with me. I'm not going to go in there and try to fix all this myself. But Lord, together, we're going to shift this out of dysfunction. And we're going to shift this into the blessing. Into the grace. Into power, love, soundness of heart, mind, and soul. God is going to possess the gates of our soul. Our mind, will, and emotional faculties. Feel that? He's going to possess the gates and bring us all into the rest. Bring us into the grace, the peace, and the rest. Father, even your rest, Lord, now. We receive the yoke that's easy. Even today, we cease from all of our labor, striving, the gates of striving. Oh, here's one. I sense it really strong. It's a gate of deep discouragement, failure, and depression. They run together. There's somebody in here. And the Spirit of the Lord is really moving to bring you out. And that gate of depression, and despair, despondency, discouragement, and failure syndrome keeps wanting to pull you back. And the Spirit of the Lord said, you're going to possess the gate of success in me. The gates of grace. The gates of blessing. The gates of fullness. The gates of peace, the gate of joy. It will be a new day for you, says the Spirit of the Lord. It will not be as the old. I'm not leading you into that place. I'm leading into a new realm now. A newness of life. A newness of spirit. A newness of joy. Out of the gates of anxiety, into the gates of love. Out of the gates of fear-dominated belief system into a gate of love-dominated belief system. Love, peace, and rest, righteousness, peace, and joy. See, these things are found as you dwell in Him. These things are found as you remain in Him. These things are found not apart from Him, but with Him. These things are found abiding. Here the Spirit of the Lord says, now, sons, now, daughters, now is the time to move into the gates with me and in me. To stay, to learn to remain, not just to begin, but to stay with me and in me. To know that your position in me is more important than what is moving through us. What is moving through you is conditioned on what's going on inside of you. Let the alignment of heaven fill our soul. Let the peace of heaven fill us with grace. We receive the rest. We receive. Everyone put your hand over your heart. Say, I'm not alone. I'm not alone. I'm not alone anymore. That means you're not alone and you don't go alone. I don't go alone anymore. I don't go alone. I don't go alone. I mean, every other day, Tina's up here, she's ministering, and she's getting a testimony about every week what's going on in her college since God's put her there. Because God's going up in there with her, shifting the departments, shifting all kinds of things, favors coming, corporations are bringing money into that place. They've never brought money like that before. Everybody's being elevated over there because the blessing of God is there. It comes into where you are. If you'll carry it, amen? It'll come into where you are. Father, fill this sanctuary. You have sworn in blessing, you will bless us in the gate. You have sworn and multiply us in the gates you put us in. If you're in a media gate, God is going to multiply it. If you're an educational gate, a political gate, a financial gate, a family, God's going to bless you. He has sworn to bless you in that gate. And for you to possess it now, in Him and with Him. I and myself can do nothing. The word of the Lord, the Zerubbabel, what was the first word? What was the very first word? Not by might, not by power, but by my spirit. When God was done with Moses, He went in there and He knew who was God. He didn't do things with the arm of the flesh anymore. That's the product of a really good training with God. We don't do things under the arm of the flesh. Amen? We realize it's futile to do it. And even when things are screaming for us, you need to jump into this and fix it. I can't do it. You just stop. I let go. I can't do it. You go to God and God starts fixing it. Seeing some really good mountains move even this week. Just by the things I'm teaching you. Some really good stuff is moving out there. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's give God glory. Praise God. Thank you, Lord, for the rest. The rest is my favorite outside the love of the Father. The rest. The rest. The rest. The rest. Father, I ask you to align this house. Keep us aligned. We've begun in the Spirit. Let us stay in the Spirit. Father, bring us out to begin possessing gates now. Gates of salvation, gates of healing, gates of deliverance. Possessing gates, Father, possessing gates. I hear the Spirit of the Lord tell me, this is the second time He said this, tell them again, it will not be as before. Do not allow what happened in the past prophesy to you what's happening. Do not allow your past. I hear Him say, it's not going to be as before. I am with you now. I am with you. That was you trying to do it. I am with you. I am with you. Amen? I am with you because you're where I am. I just put that song, Where I Am, for a minute. Let's all stand up. Praise God. Let's give God glory. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. I feel His Spirit. I feel His Spirit upon us.